Let's pray. Father God, we come to you. We come to you because you're the source, you're the beginning, and you're the end. You're everything. And we come to you and we're looking to you. Father, I'm asking that you open eyes to see, hearts that would be open to receive, ears that hear, Father, from you. And I thank you, your word will penetrate, go deep, and cause transformation in our hearts, in our lives, in the people we encounter, because the word is powerful. And we thank you for the word going forth in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right. Well, I just want to welcome you. I'm really glad you're here. You could have been someplace else, but you chose right. You're here. So good morning. And we are in the middle of our series called Build a Better You. You know, Build a Bear. This is Build a Better You. Anybody know what Build a Bear is? Yeah, you go to these stores and you pay your kid to build this bear and they stuff it. Okay. So we're going to build a better you, but really God's word will build a better you. But how many of you would like to have a better you? All right. How many would like to do life a little bit better? All righty. So really, all of us would like to do better. And the word of God, when we get it into us, will start building better you. Matter of fact, when you encounter the Lord Jesus Christ, when you ask him into your life, when he moves into your life, there's a beginning of change, and God desires, and I think he really puts the desire in you to keep the change going. So I'm just going to be the hypodermic needle the next couple of weeks to help you keep on keeping on, all right? Say, I love it, Pastor D. Turn over, would you? This is like our main scripture for the whole time. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 10. 2 Peter 5, 1 through 10. Excuse me, 2 Peter 1, you guys should be correcting me. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 10. All right? But also for this very reason, giving all diligence. That means quickly do this. Quickly do this. Add to your faith. Actually, keep adding. Keep adding to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, everybody say, love. So, you know, when you first start reading this, you kind of go like, I wonder what that whole thing means. You know, like, oh yeah, I read it. Okay, but then you start reading verses 8, 9, and 10. Look over at 8, 9, and 10. 8, 9, and 10 are the important part because they are going to tell you what happens if you do it, and they're also going to tell you what happens if you don't. So they're kind of the important. You know, that's that you buy this big refrigerator, and on the back you got to read the warranty and find out. I love it. This thing will, you know, we guarantee this for how many years, all the things, and then they put, you know, but we don't guarantee it, this part and that part and this part and that part, okay? So it's important to know what will happen and what's not going to happen. So, okay, so we're going to look at verses 8, 9, and 10. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he who lacks these things, that's verse 5, 6, and 7, he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed of his old sins. And here's the best part. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent, be quick about it, to make your call and your sure election. And if you do these things, you will never stumble and fall, as I stumble over the word, okay? So if you do these things, you're never going to fall in your life. That's good. Raise your hand if you think that's good. That's good. That's really good. All right. But if you don't do those things, we might have some problems. So we're going to look at that. Now, some of you, if you're really honest, you go, Pastor D, you should have seen my week. I was stumbling all over the place. Matter of fact, I kind of mess up and fall in my life on a regular basis. That's okay. I'm not condemning you. That's okay. I'm also saying I'm not perfect. I do a whole bunch of that stuff too. But through learning how to add these things in our life, we'll be better at life. If we add these things, we'll be better at doing life. And I sure need to do a little better. All right. So week one, we just kind of flat out introduced the whole thing and told you the promises. Last week was week two, and it was called Right Thinking. And we taught that you, from verse 5, add to your faith virtue. And we simply said, and the real bare bones meaning of virtue is add to your faith right thinking. All right, right thinking. Now, how many of you did your homework last week? Just raise your hand, you can lie and fake it, okay? But really, how many of you did your homework last week? Because your homework was monitor some of the thoughts that go through your brain. How many of you were like, oh my gosh? All right, I actually did, this thing stuck with me all week. I started thinking, you know, thoughts would come zipping in there, and I'd go, oh, that's not one of those good thoughts. All right, so we had to monitor our thoughts, then change our thoughts, and then what was the last part? Monitor, change, and watch and see. Okay, did you watch and see yourself? Yeah, okay. Now, last week, how many of you had at least one wrong thought that came into your brain? Yeah, okay, I did. And I was like, whoa, that was one of those wrong thoughts. Okay, but really, everybody has wrong thoughts that come zipping in there, right? And the Bible says, though, if you add to your faith right thinking, if you add to your faith right thinking, it's sort of like the first step in heading in the right direction for your life to get changed. Okay, but the interesting part is I've got a whole bunch of right thinking and wrong thinking. Anybody have some right thinking and wrong thinking that goes zipping in there? Yep. Now, I don't know about you, but right thinking or wrong thinking are either going to make it or break it. And if you've got an abundance of wrong thinking, you're probably having a whole bunch of breaking it. It's just rough in life. So what we found out is that if you have wrong thinking, you have to change that wrong thinking. And as much as I love to tell you all the time to change it, that's the you. It's really, Brenton, it's your job, okay? Even though I'm going to tell you a few things, but it's your job, all right? It's your job. And if you do not change this wrong thinking, especially people have wrong, not you guys, but people have really wrong thinking about God, the Father God. And that is the quickest way to start destroying your life, such as, wow, you know, God just put that sickness on me to teach me a lesson. That's wrong thinking, right? Okay, God is just allowing all these bad things to happen to me. Guys, that's wrong thinking. All righty, now, I said that other one. God's got me going through this because he's teaching me a lesson. Well, dummy, learn the lesson and move over. No, I didn't mean to say that. But really, it is the truth. The truth hurts, say ow. Okay. So I guess my question is, how do you change and get right thinking? How do you change wrong thinking, and how do you change it and get right thinking? Raise your hand if you know the answer. Raise your hand if you were there last week. You should, okay, all right. You have to get right thinking, and the only place you're going to get right thinking is the Word, all right? You have to get into this. That's how you get right thinking. So if what God says is not what you says, bad English here, then you have to replace it. Real simple. And how many of love your spouses? They just look at you and go, Oh, honey, don't say that. All right? Sometimes you need a little helping. I was like, I can't believe you said that. Change that. All right. But anyway, you have to start replacing those wrong thoughts with what God says. Or life's not going to change better. I mean, this is so simple. I could do a backflip if I could. You have to start replacing wrong thoughts, bad thoughts, negative thoughts, okay, with what the Word says if you're going to have change in your life. And some of you are going, I can't believe things aren't changing. I can't believe things aren't changing. But this is how you do it, right? Say amen. Matter of fact, some people are living way down here. I mean, way down here. And this is what comes out of their mouth. This is how I can tell them. Man, I never get a break in life. That's living way down here. Or I used to say this. I never win anything. And that's living way down here. All right? How about when someone says, you'll never amount to anything? That's living way down here. All right? You've got to stop that thinking, and you can't say that anymore. That's how it works. All right? Anyway, that was all free. That was a review of last week. Didn't cost you anything. Thank you, Pastor D. Amen. All right. Let's look back at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 and 7. I'm going to read them again, just the first part. Matter of fact, I'm just going to read 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And we said you could swap that word out and say, add to your faith right thinking. All right? Add to your faith right thinking. To right thinking, add knowledge. All right. So can you see these things start adding together? They add up, all right? They add on top of each other, really. All right, now, before we get started, I'm gonna catch you, okay? But you're all so smart, you know you're not going to raise your hand at the end of this. Let's suppose somebody came running up to me after church. Pastor D, will you pray for me? Sure, okay? And they start telling me this whole nine yards. Like, I have this serious issue in my life. So I went to the doctor, and he says, wow, you, and they did all these tests, and he says, listen, you got a real big problem with your heart. You're going to need surgery. But I don't really have any, I don't have insurance, okay? So this person, you know, let's suppose, so they came up to me and they give me all this information. And then rather than praying with him, I go, hey, listen, Brenton, I know this guy down the street, and in his basement, he does these surgeries. Listen, he does them kind of cheap compared to the hospital. How many of you would say, awesome, give me his card? Don't you put your hand up, Randy Graham. Okay, why wouldn't you take his card? Raise your hand. Because, guys, I can't do this. I have to look at my, oh my gosh. All right, well, number one, I don't think the guy went to college. Number two, I don't think he finished college. And I'm pretty sure he didn't do an internship or a residency like at someplace like Johns Hopkins University, okay? And I wouldn't go to him, would you? No. Okay, but why? Because you want to go to somebody that you know knows what they're doing, right? No, you want to go to someone you know has some experience. How about maybe they've had a practice for 15 years and they got a good success rate, all right? That's all right. So you want to go to someone that you know has knowledge. All right. There's an old saying, knowledge is power. Anybody ever hear that? How many of you would agree with that? Yeah. Knowledge is power, and I really agree with it. Matter of fact, Old Testament says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. So people who don't have knowledge, what's going to happen? Yeah, down the toilet, flush. Now, Sherry says I shouldn't talk like that. I don't get it. Jeez. I don't know why. All right. Now, question. What would happen if you had knowledge? What would happen if you had knowledge in your life? How about you'd start to prosper? How about maybe you start having a good life when you get knowledge, all right? So let's read again 2 Peter 1, 5. Add to your faith virtue or right thinking, and to right thinking, knowledge. All right. Now, how many of you came to church this morning to get some knowledge of the Word? You're sitting there, I hope she's got some, right? That's why we gather together. We gather together to worship Him. We gather together to just be built up in the Word, right? Okay? Now, but what I found out, there are a whole bunch of Christians that call themselves Christians, and you know what happened? They have done everything to gather all this knowledge, gather knowledge, gather knowledge. And you know what? The Bible talks about a bunch like that. They call them the Pharisees. And I've seen this, that people who say they're a Christian, they've spent and they devour great knowledge. And you know what they do with their knowledge? Tick me off. They start judging me. They start putting me down because I'm not where they're at. Listen, don't go doing that. Don't go doing that. That's not the love of God. And that's not the Jesus that lives in us, right? Matter of fact, I call them know-it-alls. And unless you're living it, I can politely say, shut your mouth. Amen. All right? Now, I don't ever say that to y'all face-to-face, but you know. But it's interesting. Once you're living that, once you get to the point that you're living it, you know what the funniest thing happens is I realize, was it not for the grace of God, Him empowering me, I wouldn't be able to be living it. So you can't be a know-it-all. Because it's just the grace of God. It's just thank God who He is and what He's in my life and what He's done in my life. So I can't be the know-it-all, the Pharisee, all right? So I didn't compliment you today if I said, hey, you're one of those Pharisees, okay? You know that now, right? Now, my job when we gather together is not so much to feed you, though I do. Okay, I'm going to say it again. My job is not so much to feed you, though I do. But you know what my big job is? To inspire you that you are the salt and the light. And then you get out of this place and you go where darkness, where people don't know Jesus, where people are hurting, where people are just out of hope. All right? So here's your question. Who's going to feed you guys? Yes, thank you. You get the lollipop downstairs. We have them, all right? Because Scripture talks about you feeding yourself. Now listen, do you all know how to eat by yourself? Yes, you do. So listen, you do know, and I'm going to remind you, because I'm going to do this today, that you feed yourself. You are supposed to feed yourself. So now turn over just a couple of pages to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. All right. I'm going to read this out of the, oh yeah, I'm switching. I'm going to read this out of the NIV. Had fun here. This thing got dropped in the water. It's got the funky, wrinkled pages. I love it. Just, you know. I think it was in the spa room. Yeah, that's what happened to it. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Like newborn babies. Everybody say babies. Crave spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. All right. How many of you had kids? How many of you had babies? How many of you had grandkids? How many of you have ever looked at babies? Good. I figured everybody's hand should go up one time or another. All right. Have you ever noticed? Thank you, little Grayson did it. They get kind of out of sorts when they get hungry. Thank you. All right. Matter of fact, they start doing the crying thing and they just kind of become a mess. All right. Now, once you put food in their mouth, I used to crack up, especially when they were little, and they're little babies, but I'd put them in the high chair, and they're watching me get breakfast ready. They're smart. And they're even doing that when you're preparing a bottle, but they go, and I start throwing food on the high chair, and they're like, they get kind of goofy giddy. All right, because they got food going in them, but they're just kind of fun to watch, all right? Aren't they? Now, 1 Peter 2, 2 and 3. Like newborn babies crave spiritual milk. Okay, what are you supposed to be craving? Spiritual milk. You know what the crave, the desire, is really the Word of God. This is what we crave. Okay? This is what we're craving, right? Just like the baby, all right? Now, you're supposed to desire like a baby. Crave being fed. But you know what? You're probably not going to believe this because none of you do this. But if I could tell you all the people that I'd come up to and they'd say, Pastor D, I just don't like to read. Matter of fact, Pastor D, I don't even like to read my Bible. You know, I'm like, really? You know, Pastor D, I just don't even have a desire to read my Bible. And I go, well, what about, would you listen to a CD? I go, what do you mean? You know, if I give you a CD of somebody reading the Bible, would you listen to it? You know, okay, maybe, yeah. Okay, but 1 Peter 2 says, like newborn babies, crave, desire, spiritual milk, food, the Word. Okay? I don't know too many babies that you come up to and they turn around and they say, besides they could talk, right? But they go, not today, Mom. Not hungry. No! They're like, wah! I need some food, right? All right? So 1 Peter 2 is telling us, just like newborn babies, you're supposed to desire, crave. And you know what it also means? Intensely. Intensely. Okay, this is where I want little Grayson just to let out one of those war whoops, because he is intense that he wants to be fed. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be intensely craving the Word of God. All right, now, how do you do this? How do you do this? You have to put yourself in the position like this baby. Little babies, they don't have a car. They don't drive and buy groceries. They don't take them home and cook their dinner. All right? So you're going to be like this little baby. You're going to be in the position like this little baby. This is the most important thing. Okay? Food. You start, get your brain wrapped around that, and you start putting yourself in the position like a baby. A newborn baby that is intensely craving. That's how you do it. Okay? Now, how many remember the saying, milk does a body good? Say it. Milk does a body good. How about spiritual milk does a body good? Yes or no?
Yes.
New refrigerator poster, spiritual milk does a body good. And I'm not talking about it's got proteins and 12 whatever irons and stuff like that. The Word of God will do your body good. It'll help you in every part of your life. And life can get a mess. So what do you think you need to be craving? What do you think you have to have an intense desire for? The Word of God. All right. Now, the verse 2, second part. So that by it, the spiritual milk, you may grow up, I love saying that, grow up in your salvation. Mm-hmm. How many of you know people that are 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years old? Anybody know that? You probably have to raise your hand because you're one of them. All right? And they've been saved 10, 20, 30, going down the home stretch 50 years Oh, they're 50 years old since they got saved, since they asked Jesus Christ into their heart. All right? And yet, you look at their lives and you want to go, baby, baby, baby. They're spiritual babies. Because they only act like they're 1 year old. Like, all right, say you love me, say you love me, say you love me. Like, when you're a spiritual baby, it means you haven't done nothing with your life. Babies, except for drinking, you know, poo, occasionally smile, they're not doing much, right? They're not doing much, all right? So spiritual babies aren't doing much, all right? Now, I am not condemning you. I'm just going to toss out the typical pastor. This is what goes through our brain. Spiritual babies. I don't know, should I come to church? I went last month, once, okay? Oh, then I come to church and I go, oh, should I bring my Bible? Are you kidding me? Look what Pastor D does. I don't need a Bible, all right? Matter of fact, and then I do all this feeding. I prepare all this, and they go home, spiritual babies, and they don't read their Bible. That's a spiritual baby. Now, again, I'm not trying to condemn you. You know what I'm trying to do? Light a fire in your heart. Light a fire in your heart that you'd start craving intensely the Word of God. Because unless you get this Word, and I'd like to think I'm amazing how I dish out this Word of God and it's just doing great things, scrubbing you up. But unless you daily get this into your life, it becomes a habit. I was talking to a friend about making a habit. You know, when it becomes a habit, God's word has this potential to change you, but unless you crave it intensely, get it into your life. This says, oh my gosh, grow up. Babies. Wow. Okay. So that's not going to be us, right? So it says that you may grow up in your salvation. So, you know, just really simple without getting into what all salvation has to be right there. What do you think God wants for your life? He wants you to grow. And every parent wants their kids to grow, don't they? All right, I loved having babies. And then I loved having toddlers really quick. Then I love this. I said, you know, really, so it comes down to I just wanted them to grow up. All right? And now I get to hold all your babies. It's just wonderful. But parents want their kids to grow up and have a great life. This is what God wants for you. He wants you to grow up. So it says, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. All right? Now, the last part says, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Now, does food have a taste? Okay, guess what the Word of God does? The Word of God has a taste. And it tells you what it tastes like right down there. What does it taste like? It's good. Say that. The Word of God is good. All right? So people need hope in their life. So when you tell them about Jesus and they've had life just come at them and they are on the zero, they have no hope. So when you tell them about Jesus, all of a sudden it brings hope. And that's when Jesus tastes good. You walk around and say, you don't know Jesus, you're going to hell. Okay, now there's a truth to that. But is that bringing them a good taste in their mouth? Come on, let's give them a good taste. Hey, your mess? No problem. I can't fix it, but I know the one that can. And that's like, oh man, that tastes good. That tastes good. Say the Word of God tastes good. Amen. Now, turn over to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. John chapter 8, verse 31, 32. This is Jesus talking. This is Jesus talking. John chapter 8, verse 31. And Jesus, he's talking to these Jews who believed. How about that, Dave Siegel? Those Jews believe. Those Jews believe. How many of you believe and you're not a Jew? then this talks to you. All right? Make this talk to you. Sometimes you read that and you go, oh, nice story, nice sturdy story. Let it talk to you. Okay, so if Jesus, this is Jesus, to the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold my teachings, if you hold to my teachings, to my word, you really are my disciples. And verse 32, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Guys, this is why we do this. This is why we do life. This is why we do church. We believe that when people come in this place, they come in this place, they're going to hear the word of God. They're going to hear truth. And we're going to help them hear truth, all right? And if they take that truth that they hear, that Jesus loves them, and he died for them, and he's provided a great, better life. We can put that in people, and then, how about you start putting it in yourself? That's when it tastes good. That's the truth. All right. You know what the potential of the Word of God in you? You put this Word of God, and it's not a one-time slab it and dab it and run. You keep this Word of God in you. You know what the potential is? The potential is, it says it'll set you free. That's what it said. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It also means it will liberate you. It'll release you. So the potential of this, is it'll release you from bondage. It'll release you where you're tied up. It'll release you. It'll release you from stuff. Okay, so what kind of stuff would it release you from? Well, how about bondage of fear? The truth will release you from the bondage of fear. And I'm telling you, fear has torment. It's horrific. So some people have stuff that's holding them in fear. So this truth will do that. How about the truth will release you from bad relationships? How about the truth, the stuff in life, will set you free in your marriage? Because it's bad. That's what this says. This truth will release you in your body, in your emotions. Anybody got stuff? Anybody? Okay, here, how about this? 1975, I got born again. Yay! Gee, someone told me that Jesus came for me, and he died for me. And I thought, wow, this is the winning ticket. And I asked him to be Lord of my life. And then life happened. Anybody have life happen at the day after? Okay, life happened. And then you got married and stuff happened. And then you had kids and then stuff happened. And then you found out you had to raise those kids and then stuff happened. And then more stuff happened and more stuff happened. And listen, if you have asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, and you are distracted with all this stuff, and you're not putting this in your life, you've got a life that's just splat, right? So, what is the truth for? It's to set you free. It's to set you free. Now, the interesting part, it says, if you know the truth, everybody say that like that. If you know the truth's going to set you free. All right, now, that to know is an interesting word. It's sometimes you know about it, right? Such as, I love where I live. I'm going to stay there long and strong. I have the best neighbors. And over the last 30 years, and really it's about 25 years, I've gotten to know Kevin and Charlene. And I probably obviously spend more time with Charlene. And I've gotten to know her. I know about her. I sometimes go swimming over there, and we swap cookies and recipes and borrow things and stuff like that. So you could say I have a general knowledge of Charlene. But then there's Kevin, her husband. He knows Charlene. He knows her intimately, experientially. How's that for a big word today that I got out? I just cracked myself up. All right. Kevin knows Charlene. And really, all I do is kind of have this general knowledge, all right? Back to 2 Peter. Flip back over to 2 Peter. 2 Peter 1. Add to your faith virtue, right thinking. And add to your right thinking, how about if I say this? Intimate, experiential knowledge of Him. And the truth will set you free. Add right thinking to your life, and to your right thinking, add intimate, hang out, know Jesus. And then the promise was, you'll never stumble, you'll never fall. That's how you do it. All right, now. Sometimes we forget and we don't keep our eye on Him. Sometimes we actually know all about Him. And sometimes we know all about Him, but we really don't know Him. And if you really want to know Him, I mean, I think Kevin and Charlene have probably been married about 20 years. They hang out all the time. They go places, do things, and that's how Kevin knows Charlene. He didn't write her a letter once, propose, send her a ring, and say, get married. Kevin moved in. After they got married. Okay, you know, Pastor D. Okay, he moved in, and they do life all the time together. And that's how you know Him. And that's how, according to this, add to your faith, right thinking, to right thinking, intimate knowledge, and then you'll never stumble. Now, that doesn't mean you're never going to do one of mine. Okay, and it means wipeouts. Okay, when I say that, I mean wipeouts. Some people wipe out and they pack up God and they are mad at God because of what happened. That's the big stumble, all right? But listen, this will make your life better. So, how many of you have stuff? Areas that life is happening in. I want to pray for you. So I want everybody just to close your eyes. We're going to end right here, all right? I believe the Word of God is true. Didn't I just say that? The Word of God is true. And the Word of God, we just said, will release you, will set you free from bondages, from things that tie you up. All right? So, everybody close your eyes. I'm not even going to look at you. If you need prayer, if you need to be released in an area in your life, you just raise your hand and I'm going to pray over you. All right? Father God, you see those hands, and we believe your word. We believe your word is true. We believe your word will set us free from whatever is tying us up, whatever has us in bondage. We believe. And you said that whatever we bind will be bound, whatever we loose will be loose. So in the name of Jesus, by the power of the word, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we command these chains to come off, no longer be tied up. They have to fall off now in the name of Jesus. And now, everybody just put your hands up and go, thank you, Jesus, for setting me free. Thank you, Jesus, I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. I'm free. Thank you, Lord. I'm free. Lord, I'm free. I'm free. This is the most incredible book. You know what makes this book different than a novel? This book says it's alive. The words are alive. And when you read this, I'm going to say this again. When you read this, I don't get to muff it up for you. I can say dumb, dumb things. I have had my theology wrong. Thank God I'm working to know it better. But things that I believed, oh my gosh, Beth Clark 30 years ago, diddly dumb, okay? But when you read this, You get this living word to talk to you, and I don't get to muck it up. Thank goodness. You read this living word, and it'll talk to you. It'll talk to you. And it says, this is truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, getting free, I'm working on getting free continually. It's a continual, right? All right. Okay, I don't want to keep preaching. I'm going to give you a homework assignment. Homework is good. Number one, I don't grade it. So those of you that didn't do homework last week, try that. Monitor your thinking. And then see if you have to change it. But today, this is your homework. Okay? Your homework is to buy a notebook. You can call it a journal. All right? And the journal's for soaping. S-O-A-P. Soaping. This is what the S stands for. Read your Bible. Read a scripture. Read a scripture. Read a couple of them, all right? Read a couple of them. And then find out one that sticks. One that just grabs your brain and you go, my gosh, God's talking to me with this scripture. That's the S in soap. Read your Bible. Find one scripture that starts talking to you. You know, sometimes I just read three sentences and I'm like, whoa, God, that, God, you're talking to me. So write that down. Soap. Find one scripture that's talking to you and write it down. Number two, observation. That's the O. By the way, my friend did this. I just do this. I'm not that creative on the SOAP, but here we go. Observation. Write down, after you found that one scripture, write down what it's saying to you. So you have to write the scripture and then write down what it's saying to you. All right? What is God saying to you about that scripture? All right? Now, application. We love the A, application. How do I apply this to my life? And that's what makes you different than a Pharisee. You start applying this to your life. Right? You got some knowledge here. Start applying. So how does this affect my life? How do I do this in my life? That scripture that's talking to you, how do I do that in my life? And the last one is write out a prayer. Now, prayer is just talking to God. So if I were to call Kathy up, I'd go, hey, Kathy, I found this scripture. And it says, be kind to blah, blah, blah. Okay. And I just start talking to Kathy like God. Write that down. Write down how you would talk to God about that scripture and how you can apply it to your life. Because he's listening. All right? Now, how do you take that and make it in your life today? That's how you're going to ask him. And you're going to pray it and ask God to help you. Everybody say help. Help you apply that. Now, I know some people, I don't like journals. How many of you have heard of Rick Renner? He has this phenomenal devotional book called Sparkling Gems. That's exactly what he does in that book. The last page is he writes the scripture out, and he writes the prayer out for you. And all you have to do is say it, okay? But you know, sometimes I'm not on the page with Rick Renner. So this is what talks to me. And I want you to do it for a month. Homework for a month, Pastor D? It's because I want you to grow up. And your spouse needs you to grow up. And your kids and people in your life and the lost need you to grow up. Because when you grow up, you take these treasures of life and even the big bumps in life. And you get to help people. All right? So it's vital that we grow up. Besides, I want a whole bunch of new babies in here, okay? Everybody, so your homework is get a notebook. You can write my soaping journal on it. Date it. Spend time in the Word. In the Word, S-O-A-P, okay? How many of you think you can do I was like, should I buy them all notebooks? No, I'm not a codependent. You go out and buy your own, all right? Go buy your own. And you'll watch. You do this. You'll see change. Because one, You have abided under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen. And he starts soaping you. And things get, ooh, so clean and squeaky, and you smell good. All right? I could go on